Come and behold him. Come worship our holy God. Wow. Isn't it great to be able to sing praise to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, our Redeemer, the Shepherd of our souls, our great and awesome King of Kings. Amen. Well, this morning as we prepare for our time in the Word, let's take an opportunity just to quieten our hearts. To come, we've come with praises to God this morning. Let's now come in quietness, in silence, before our great God. And just allow him to just search our hearts and know us. Know where we've been this week. He already knows that, but just let him just wash over you and just allow you to let go of those things that hinder and the sins that may have easily entangled you this past week. If you need to pray a prayer of seeking forgiveness or just repentance, just letting things go so that you have a clear heart, a clean heart before God this morning so that he can just speak into you by his Spirit. And let's just take this few moments right now to just be still and know that he is God. Let's go together in prayer. Our great and awesome God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and sit in your presence this morning, just to be still and know that you are God, and to know that you are the one who searches our hearts and knows us. And so, Lord, we just pray in these moments right now that you would just give us ears to hear, hearts to understand the word that you have for us. And Lord, help us in these days that are so troubled, so difficult all around us in this world, to know that you are the shepherd of our souls. And so, Father, we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This past week, on Thursday evening, at our congregational meeting, the elders and the deacons shared with us the what so about the present state of our ministry together. In that conversation for relatedness that we that the elders shared with us, that there were eight people, the elders shared with us that there were eight people who were, they were presenting to be voted on for new membership within our fellowship. The members, these people's names were presented and voted on, and it was unanimously, they were unanimously received into membership. And so we'll be extending the right hand of fellowship to our new members on December the 3rd. So if that was you and you weren't able to be here on Thursday night, just know that on next Sunday morning we'll be welcoming you into our fellowship. Also, the nominating committee presented a new slate of officers and leaders for our various ministry positions. And there were a few open spots to be filled, and many of you might have noticed that when you got that sheet. But by God's grace, some of those positions were filled by willing volunteers, and were the nominees were, all the nominees were affirmed with a unanimous approval from everybody who was present. So God was working on Thursday night to put it into people's hearts to respond to the work that's ahead into the future. And then we came to that part of the evening that Bruce really loves, our treasurer really loves. It was the presentation of the budget. And the budget for next year was set before us. You know, it really was a big ask. A big ask. You know, those of you who weren't here on Thursday evening and didn't have an opportunity to be in that conversation, you know, if you received the budget beforehand and looked it over, you were kind of going, wow, whew, $180,000 budget plus for this next year of ministry. And what's that? Approximately $33,000 deficit that we were projecting. And you know, as this was put before you as a congregation, you know, it really seems like a big ask to trust that the leadership, that the elders, that the deacons, that the finance board, everybody had done their homework, had done all their work to put this budget together to reflect the true costs of what this ministry is going to mean for the need for this next year to go forward. And it's a big ask to trust the leadership. But, you know, that's not all that was the big ask. The big ask here was also that we would trust God, that we would be able to trust God to provide the resources that we will need to fulfill the mission we believe God has called us to be doing into this new year that's ahead of us. And so, you know, we realize that, you know, as leaders, as pastors, as pastor and elders and deacons, we realize this was a big ask on Thursday night. But it was also a big ask now to step out in faith, believing. You know, on Thursday evening, those who were gathered here from the membership gave the approval of the budget going forward by faith. It's a big ask to step out in faith, believing that our God will provide all of our needs according to His riches in glory. It's a big ask. You know, the elders and deacons, in response to, you know, what we knew would be this big ask, the elders and the deacons asked me, as your pastor, to share with you over this next year, times where we'll, you know, be able to focus in on, well, What is God asking of us together? What's possible? And what are the opportunities that are before us as we step out in faith and partner with God in this coming year? What is possible? What are the opportunities that are ahead for us? And so today is this being the last Sunday of our calendar year before we start into Advent and focus on Christmas, on Christ coming. We felt that this would be the opportunity for us to introduce what is going to be called our Faith Promise campaign for this next year. Faith and promise. We'll get into that in just a moment. You know, today, this is the first of five Sundays that we're going to look at. This one being this year, and then one a quarter next year, to really focus on this whole thing about faith and God's promise. Faith and God's promise. So where are we going to start with this today? Well, I've entitled this message, a few things we ought not to forget. And this message is focused around Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 20. Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 20. And, you know, in this chapter, you know, in this chapter from Deuteronomy, we're going to look at the words of Moses today. The words that Moses shared with the people of Israel as they prepared to enter the promised land after wandering 40 years in the desert. And Moses had about a few things to remember about God's faithfulness in the past, his promise for the future, and his invitation to partner with him in the present. So that's where we're gonna go today. These three sections of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to actually it's verse 18 today. So these in three sections we're going to look at it. So let's look at the first section this morning. And this is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. And this is what Moses says. He says, "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." As I've been reflecting on these words this last week, a few things that the Lord put on just reminded me about relating to God's faithfulness. You know, when this as Moses is speaking these words to the people of Israel, it's in the context of they're completing almost 40 years of wandering around in the desert. And, you know, if you think back to when God led the people of Israel out of Egypt, he made them a promise. He was bringing them back to the promise that he'd made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they would have a land for themselves, for, that they would be able to live in. And it was, you know, that's what we call the promised land. And so they had received this promise. And Moses was told by God to go back to go to Egypt and call lead the people out of captivity to the Egyptians. And so they had set out. And you know, it really was a short trip, relatively speaking, from Egypt to the promised land. It was a journey that, with all that many people, you know, they took the first 2 months, 3 months to get to Mount Sinai, Horeb, the region of Horeb. And that's where they camped out for a while. That's where God spoke to them, gave them the law, gave Moses the law, you know, the Ten Commandments, and then all the other laws. That's where God began to form this people into his nation, his called out nation. I mean, it only took 2.5 to 3 months for them to get there. They camped there for about a year or so. Well, God formed them into the nation, gave them the law, gave them the instructions to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. They built the tabernacle in record time in about a year. And then they set out again and got to Kadesh, which is just the entry point. If they went a little bit further, they'd be engaging into the promised land. So they get there. And Moses says, okay, I'm going to send out 12 representatives from all the 12, one representative from each of the 12 tribes. I'm going to send you out. And I want you to check out the land. And they went through the land for 40 days, those spies in the land. Then they came back to Kadesh and they all had a report about this promised land. And as they gave the report, all 12 of them agreed, yes, this land that God has promised to us, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. Wow. So much opportunity there. But 10 of them said, but there are the people in the land are large. They're big. They're like giants. And they're strong, and they got fortified cities, and there's all kinds of obstacles. Oh, there's no, you know what? There's too many obstacles for us to be able to go into that land. And we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. We look so small. We'll never be able to do it. To take that land. 10 of the 12 spies. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, when they came back, they said, oh yeah, the land is really great. We agree with them, but here's where we disagree. This is the minority report. We believe that God is bigger than anybody in that land. That God is the one who will help us to overcome all the obstacles that stand in our way from taking this land. We need to trust God that he will see us move into that land. And who do you think the people listened to? They listened to the 10 who said, it'll never work. It'll never work. And of course, you know, in this day, you know, that day and this day, majority rules, right? 50% or more, everybody, we go in this direction. What happened? Well, there was a rebellion. There was a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. And not just Moses and Aaron, but a rebellion against God. And so they decided, well, I guess we better turn back. But then they had second thoughts. They said, well, and at that point then, God made a judgment and said, well, if you're not going to follow me, well, then into the promised land right now. Well, then listen, you are going to go back the way you came. You're going to wander for 40 years in the desert until this whole generation who resisted me, who rejected me, will fall in the desert. And when a whole new generation who are willing to follow me are raised up, then we will go into the land. And then the people said, oh, well, maybe we should go into the land now. So they went, they were tried to do it, but no, it didn't work. God had set his course for them. And so they turned back and they went. But here's the interesting thing. Now it's 40 years later. 40 years later. A whole generation has died off in the wilderness. They're on the verge of Jordan again. They're at Kadesh. And they're, again, Moses is speaking to them and he says, listen, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. You know, what that reminds me, what that speaks to me is that, you know what, even when God's people resist him, and don't go in the direction that he wants to go, God is still able and faithful. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't abandon us as his people. He stuck with his people Israel, even though he had to discipline them in the desert. He stuck with them, and he led them from place to place, wherever, whenever the tabernacle was set up in the wilderness, whenever the cloud came down. They were to, you know, to follow. Whenever the cloud came down and stayed in a place, they stayed in that place. When it went up, they started moving again. Whenever God started to move, they followed him. All those years, God led them in the desert. God is always willing to lead his people if we're prepared to follow him. And another thing that just reminds me of God's faithfulness here is that, you know, the whole purpose for which God led them in the desert, it wasn't just to say you were wrong, you were bad people, and that, but he had a purpose. It was a test. This is a test. This is only a test. You know, years ago, when television first came out, some of you might remember this. Every once in a while, the screen would come up, and it would go, this is a test. And then it would go, we still get those things now on our cell phones, don't we, every once in a while, with the emergency broadcast system. Well, this is a test. This is only a test. This is what this was for the people of Israel when they were going in the wrong direction. God said, I had a purpose for this. I had a purpose. I'm going to test you in the wilderness. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these past 40 years. Why? To humble you. To humble you. And to test you in order to know what's in your heart. You know, sometimes we look at the difficulties and the hardships and the struggles that we go through as a church community. And we've had our share of those these last 2 years. We've had our share. But you know, why is it that we go through these times when it just seems like things are declining or things are not kind of going the right way, the way that we thought? God is often, he's testing us. He's testing us to know what's in our hearts. He's humbling us. He's causing us to come to that place where we recognize, you know what, God, without you, we can't do anything. Without you, we have no sense of direction or purpose. It's causing us to, you know, when we go through those dark nights of our soul in our personal life, those times are testings that bring us to the point of recognizing that, you know what, we need God. And the neat thing is that God is right there, that Jesus is right there. He's right within reach. He can reach out and touch you, your life. His presence is always with us. And Moses says to the people, he says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger. And then he fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. To teach you something. To teach you something. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Do we see our difficulties and our struggles and our challenges as a church family as those times that God is teaching us something about trust and dependence on him? Teaching us. Disciplining us. You know what that word discipline means? You know, it's not corporal punishment, although there was some of that initiated in the desert for those who had been the rebels and had fallen and ultimately fell in the wilderness, died off. But that's not the full meaning of discipline. Discipline is instruction. The discipline of God is instruction. It's the instruction that he gives us. It's that what he forms us and shapes us, how he forms us and shapes us. And he did that with the people of Israel in the wilderness so that they would come to recognize that it was God who was their source. Their source of life. And Moses concludes the section, but he says, your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Wouldn't that be great? Everybody who's getting older, our feet not swelling. Oh, not feeling those aches and pains. You know, for 40 years, God led, he provided everything for them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their feet did not swell during the 40 years. He provided food for them every day, whether they really liked manna or not, whether they liked quail or whether they didn't. He provided, and he provided water for them everywhere they went. Everything that they needed, he provided. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And then Moses completes this section by saying, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. God is disciplining us. God is teaching us the disciplines of life and faithfulness, followership of him. This is the first section, the first thing that we ought not to forget. The thing that we should remember is that God is faithful and that he will do everything possible to show us his faithfulness, even if it means he has to take us through some difficult times. God is faithful. Now, the second thing that we're going to look at right now from Deuteronomy 8, 6 to 9 is about the second thing that we need to remember is that we can trust God's promised and preferred future. You know, God has established a vision for his people, a direction he is leading them in. And this is amazing. Listen to this part of Moses' speech to God's people. He says this in Deuteronomy 8, 6 to 9. He says, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him, and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. You know, as I was reading that over, as I was reading that over to you, could you see it? Could you envision it? You know, as Moses was speaking to the people, I'm sure this was like a group meditation, a visioning time, you know, where he said, okay, everybody just relax. Everybody, you know, focus on my words. Listen to me as I visualize to you what God has set before us in the promised land. Can you see it? Can you see it out there? Can you envision it? And he describes it in full. So listen again as Moses shares vividly the vision God had given for their future. Listen again, okay? He says, it's a good land. It's a good land. Oh, what is a good land? Just envision. What is a good land? Well, it's a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out of the into the valleys and the hills. A land with wheat and barley fields, wheat fields all over the place. Just picture it in your mind. Picture it. Fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil. Oh, and honey. Oh, honey. Who doesn't like honey? Oh, that's good. On that bread. Oh, and the bread. You'll have so much wheat. You'll have bread. Bread will not be scarce. There's no scarcity in this land. Because in this land that we're envisioning, you will lack nothing. There is no lack in this land that God is taking you to. Picture it, if you will. Can you see it? Can you taste it? Does it fill you with hope? Does it compel you to action? I want that land. I want to go to that land. You know, God gave this vision to Moses and the people of Israel. This is the promised land where I'm leading you. Capture that vision. You know, I dare to say, you know, as I've been thinking about this, that what this reveals to me anyway is that God has a clear vision for his people. God knows where he's taking his people. We see that in the Old Testament with the people of Israel. God had a very clear picture of what that promised land was going to be for the people of Israel. Does God still work that way today for his people? That's the question. The question I put to you, you know, does God have a vision for his people today? A picture of the future that he is unfolding for us? You know, I really do believe that God does have a future for this, his people, the church today. You know, and the way the church is organized today with so many different congregations all in different places around the city, around the province, around the country, around the world. You know, we're all part of that picture, that vision for the future for his people that he's unfolding. And what's really interesting is that each of us as little churches in different parts of the city You know, we also believe that God has a purpose for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be gathering together. But God has a purpose for us. He has a vision for us. And the question I'm asking you today is, can you see it? Can you see what God's vision is for this church, for you as part of this church fellowship? Can you taste it? Does it fill you with hope, that vision that you have for what this church could be? You know what? This is a challenge for us, right? Because I don't know I can't speak for the time that before I was here. And I look around and I see that on the walls there's the vision statement for the church and there's, you know, the things that we believe and we want, you know, the way that we, you know, have organized our vision in the past. But, you know, I don't hear a lot of people talking about the things that are the vision that's on the wall. You know, have we kind of got to that place where we're weary? Yeah, I think the church, the congregation here has been weary for a while. We've been kind of wandering for a number of years in that desert. And now we're kind of going, Lord, we know that you've got something more for us, but we don't know what that is. And now Moses reminds us, you know, we just need to start to get a sense of that vision. What is God up to in this place? What is God up to with us as his people? What is it? Can we see it? Can we taste it? Does it fill us with hope? Does it compel us to action? And this is what Moses was putting before the people. Brings that question, what is God's promised and preferred vision for us as his people? Moses had a real clear sense of it. What about each of us? You know, in Proverbs 29, verse 18, we're reminded, where there is no vision, the people perish. The people perish. And now Moses was holding out, hey, we're on the verge of the promised land. Now again, it's 40 years later. Are we going to start to envision what God has set before us? And are we willing to have that motivate us to start to move into that promised land where God is leading us? Do we trust God, his promised and preferred future for us? Do we know that? Well, maybe we need to start to work to capture a sense of that. And you know what? Hey, here's something. In January, we're going to start with January, February, and March, the first Sundays of each month around our Table Talk series. We're going to start to have opportunities to begin to capture a sense of what is God's vision for us as people. I'm excited about that. Because you know where the vision resides? It resides in all of you. In God's presence in you. God speaking to you and saying, you know what, if you've had these dreams or these thoughts of what we should be doing out in the community, how can we begin to do this? How can we, you know, all those thoughts and all those things that have been percolating inside of you, we're going to come together, we're going to talk about those things, and we're going to try to capture a sense, discern a sense of God's vision and purpose for us as his people. Because I believe that we are, as Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. God's already prepared all the things for us to do as we move into that promised land that he has for us. But we just need to discover that together. So this is something we need to remember. We need to remember to trust God's promised and preferred future for us. And then finally, the last thing that we need to be reminded of today is a few the things that we should not forget is that God has called us to partner with Him to fulfill the vision. This is a partnership. We're not in this all by ourselves. It's a partnership. Deuteronomy 8, 10 to 18. And this is what Moses says. He says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble you and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourselves, 'My power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember this. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors, as it is today." You know, as I've been reading these passages to you today, have you noticed something? Have you noticed something at the beginning of each of these sections? That there's a word of instruction for us. It's a word of instruction. Actually, it's a word of invitation as well as instruction. It's an invitation from God to partnership. Partnership forged in two things. Promise, and obedience. Promise and obedience. God's promise, our obedience. Did you catch it? In each of these statements, I'll go back here to the very first one. In verse 1, Moses says this: "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors." Obedience and promise. In the verse 6, he says this. "Observe the commands of the Lord your God. Walk." Christopher, don't touch, please. Okay. He says, "Observe the commands of the Lord your God. Walk in obedience to Him and receive and revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." Again, obedience, promise. I'm bringing you into a good land. You be obedient. You follow the things that I've commanded of you. And then finally in verse 10, he says this: "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you, and be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God." Promise, obedience. Promise and obedience. You know, why is this so important? Well, God has said that he has given us this invitation to us to partner with him. And this partnership is a resource partnership. A resource partnership. God has promised to resource your life and my life with everything we need for life and for godly living. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? God has invited us to partner with him. You know, and I became aware of this very much in my life a number of years ago when my life took a big turn. And I came to a place where I had nothing in my life. You know, it was when my first marriage broke down and I had no work. I had no place to live. I had no money in the bank. I had nothing. I was in that place, you know, and God was disciplining me. God was showing me, humbling me. He brought me to that place where I had to trust him completely. I had no clue how I was ever going to get out of that wilderness. And then God brought a family into my life. One day I was walking down the street in Belleville and downtown, and I came across a store window, and in that window it said apartment for rent. And I looked up, and this was a business owned by that I had used before to arrange travel for our mission teams. It was a travel agency. I walked in and post office, and I went in and I talked to Andy, and then I talked to Gita, his wife, a beautiful Hindu couple. And they said to me, "We're so sorry what's happened in your life, but we can help you out." And they gave me an apartment to rent for really cheap. And then over the next little while, as I was getting to know them a little bit and paying my rent on time, sometimes, not always, but Gita said to me one day, "You know, you should come downstairs and I can teach you something. I can teach you how to be a travel consultant." And that God provided a means for me to be able to support myself. And then what was really interesting is, as that relationship grew, they took me into their family. And they said, "You know what, we can also give you some other work if you want. You can clean the store after hours." And little bit by little bit by little bit, I started to get myself back, my feet underneath of me again. God provided everything I needed. And then God got me going to a church just around the corner from where I was living at that point, and I met another fella who's become a lifelong friend, Mike. And Mike was a painter. And you know, he'd been painting for 40 years, and he needed some help every once in a while. And whenever I had a difficult financial crisis coming up, I'd say to Mike, "Mike, do you have any work that I can help you with?" And he'd always go, "Yep, come and work with me." God provide. You know, sometimes we think, you know, all those things are coincidental. I don't think so. I think that's the way God provides for our needs, is sometimes we have to look for it. And we have to trust him for it. But, you know, as one of my coaches in one of my personal growth and development courses said to me at that time, he said, "You know, there's a difference between abundance and lack. You can live your life thinking that there's a lack that you don't have enough, or you can do this. He said, you know, we all have this little net that we carry around with us. And he said, that net catches the resources that are around us, the money that's there, or, you know, the offers of assistance, whatever. But he said, you know what? He said, you can put that net up a little higher by faith, and you can catch more than you ever thought or imagined. Now, that's not a health and wealth principle, a health and wealth gospel principle. That's a practical principle. If you don't have enough in your life right now, maybe you just have to look a little harder and put the net up a little higher to catch the resources that God has there for you already, but you're not even recognizing are there. It's partnership, a resource partnership. And that's what Moses is saying to the people. Just remember, everybody, when you were in the wilderness, God provided this, he provided that, he provided this at the right time, he provided that at the right time. Your clothes didn't wear out, you had everything you needed, and you got by. You not only got by, but you thrived in a place that wasn't his, where he wanted you to be. But now that you're going into that place, remember, don't get lazy, don't get content, because God is the one who gives you the ability to generate wealth, to put that net up a little higher and catch the resources that he's got there for you. So trust that this is a partnership with God. You have to do your work. God will do his work. You do your work. And together we will see this vision come into being. So why are we laying all this foundation today? Well, it's this reason. Do you believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever ask or imagine? Amen. That's right out of Ephesians, you know. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Do you believe that God will meet all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? Do you believe that? That's right out of Philippians 4:19. Do you believe that the secret to contentment is trusting God at his promise? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God has given us everything we need for life and godly living? Do you believe it? That's right out of 2 Peter 1, verse 3. You know, all of this morning, these things, these few things that we are to remember, are all bringing us to this point this morning, the big give. You know, we had a big ask on Thursday night. Here's the big give. All right? The big give. We're entering into this new year with a deficit projection, a budget of $180,000 with a deficit projection of $33,000. We don't know where that's going to come from. You know, we have the leadership has had a few planning sessions looking at it, saying, you know, well, God, we trust that you're going to bring in maybe some new people to, you know, new people who want to use the building. We heard about that on Thursday night. There's possibilities there that some more people renting space in the building for different things. But, you know, that's not going to be enough. So where is this other, $33,000 going to come from? Well, I'm looking at it right here. God and you, us together as God's community. And so this year, we're looking at a faith promise campaign. What is it? It's an opportunity to give as God has given to us. God has given us an abundance in our life. If we look at all of our resources, you know that video? Some of you didn't maybe see the video beforehand, because it played just about 2 or 3 minutes before the hour today. But there was a video, and it said, if you take stock of all the resources that you have, that God has given to you, you have an abundance of resources. You are blessed people. You're not living in a place of lack. God has blessed you. So a faith promise is an opportunity for us to give as God has given to us. For freely you have received, freely give. It's an opportunity for us to trust God's faithfulness, to recognize that he has a promised and preferred future for us, and that he's called us to be partners with him in that future. And part of that will require us to give of ourselves. So what's that going to look like for this next year? And I just realized I left these in my office. Ken, could you go into my office and get the folder there? It's a manila folder on my desk. What we're going to do between now and the end of the year is we are going to give you this faith, promise, commitment card. Okay, I'm not sure, in talking with the elders and the deacons, this has not been done here in this congregation before. So this may be something that everybody needs to kind of get your mind around, your heart around. That's why this whole message is today. But this card basically outlines for us, and I'm going to come down here because I got new glasses, but they're really good. But I can see here. I didn't bring a card with me, right? So this faith promise card is going to be given to each and every one of us. Everybody in the congregation, from young to old, children, teens, adults, gives you an opportunity this year to look at what you are going to tithe to the church. Now, everybody here who is regular attenders, you usually give a gift of or a tithe, right? So take a look at what you tithe on an annual basis on what your income comes in, and we want you just to commit, put it down on this sheet, on this, the first part of the sheet on the left-hand side there, the promised amount. So that's what you've been giving already. Or you may say, you know what, I'm going to up my tithe this year. We're not getting crazy about what tithe actually means, because tithe may, you know, in the biblical sense, tithe is a tenth, right? A tenth of your income, you know. But not everybody may be tithing 10%. Some may be tithing less, or some might be tithing more. But that's between you and God. What is it that you are going to tithe over this next year, 2024? We just want you to think about that and put that down. And then, just below that, there's another little portion there that says, my faith promise offering. And what is a faith promise offering? Well, if you read the little card there, it says, my faith promise commitment is my offering given by faith above my tithe to support the work and ministry or mission of Emerson Heights Baptist Church. So your faith promise is, you know, over this next month, we want you to really pray about this. God, not only am I going to give my tithe what I normally give, but what I'm going to give over and above is my faith promise. You know, looking at my resources that I have, the abundance of the resources that you've given to me, and even going beyond that and saying, you know what, God, I'm trusting that you're going to bring in some extra. I'm going to put the net up a little higher this year and trust you that you're going to bring in something more that I can give. And that faith promise offering portion here is about the faith promise that I'm making to God, that God, you being my helper, I am going to give above and beyond what I normally give this amount this next year. And then at the very bottom there, it gives you the opportunity to say, well, you know, I'm going to make this, the faith promise and my tithe a weekly or a biweekly or a monthly contribution. And that is basically just so that, you know, when all of this is tallied up, we kind of have an idea of how it's going to come in over this next year. And here's the, so once you've filled out that first section there that's right beside the faith promise commitment section, then there's another section on the right-hand side. And that's my promised amount again. So take the information that was in that first part, transfer it over to the second part. And then once you've completed all that, sign the sheet, cut off that right-hand side portion, okay? And on December 31st, the last Sunday of the month, if you're not going to be here, you can bring it in the Sunday before. But if December 31st, bring in the right-hand section, that little piece that you've cut off on the right-hand section. Not the part that you've signed, because we want you to sign this card, because we want you to take that signed section with the promised amount, and we want you to put that up on your refrigerator in your house to remind you, this is the commitment I've made to you, God, this year, signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm trusting you, God. This is my covenant with you this year. We don't need to know that at the church. We don't need to know who you are, how you have specifically done this. And that's that little section right there. I understand that Edmiston Heights Baptist Church will not contact me regarding my promise. This commitment is between my Lord and me. May God help me to be a faithful steward. See, this is not about us holding you to that pledge, because you've made that commitment to God and God alone. This just gives us an idea as the leadership of the church, and the treasurer is probably going to be the only one that sees these anyway. But this is our faith promise for this next year. And what our goal is that $33,000 deficit will be made up by our faith promises, our faith promise commitments for this next year. Let's just see what God's going to do. It's exciting, isn't it? Are you excited? I can see the faces. Yeah, I'm excited. Oh boy, stepping out into new territory, stepping out in faith to be part of what God is doing. You know, that's what this is all about. When they got to the Kadesh that second time after 40 years in the wilderness, as you know, they had a choice to make. Are we going to trust God at what he's doing right now, where he's taking us, the promise that he's made to us, or are we going to, go back again? We don't want to go back again. It's change or die time. Opportunity. This is the opportunity that God has set before us. Let us step out in faith, believing that our God is an awesome God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray that today you would just help us to remember these things that we ought not to forget, that you are faithful, that you have a promised future for us, that you are the one that's called us to be partners with you. And Lord, help us to be faithful in following obediently the commands that you've given to us. Help us to be faithful in following you as you lead us into the future that you have prepared for us, the good things you have prepared for us to do here as Edmiston Heights Baptist Church. And Lord, just give us the faith. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom to know how to trust you and know that you are God. We love you, Lord. We praise you.